Good evening. There's so many wonderful things about this time of year, but one of them is even if you're not a traditional Christian, the songs about Jesus and gospel songs are so uplifting. And it's wonderful to have a reason or a reminder to listen to them. The joy we share as we tarry there is a man who's spending time with God. Just like we're doing right now. And with that thought in mind, please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed
Blessed
Master,
Master,
Beloved David,
Beloved David,
Dearest Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Saints and sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages
Sages
of
of
all
all religions,
I bow to you all.
I bow
I
to you
bow
all.
to you all.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me
Give me
physical,
physical,
mental,
mental,
and
and
spiritual
spiritual
development.
development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my
Make my
mind thy
mind thy
temple.
temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my
My
heart thy
heart,
altar.
thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my
My
love
love,
thy.
thy home.
Be the only king reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Be
Be
thou the only
only
king
king
reigning on the
reigning on the
throne of
throne
my
of my
consciousness.
consciousness.
Peace,
Peace.
bliss,
Bliss.
amen.
Amen.
It's delightful to see you here tonight. We're going to talk about something very special and very personal, and that is the birth of the divine. And we celebrate the diverse of the birth of the divine at Christmas time. We celebrate going over the top, the consciousness of man becoming the consciousness of the divine at Easter time. So the birth of the divine is that first awakening. In you, in each one of us, that realization that there's something more, that we are more than the body, that we are more than our desires. And this is a tremendous birth. And I want you to think back on when that was for you and towards the end of tonight's session, I actually would like to hear, and I'm very curious about this, when you first realized, when you first felt that something that was greater than yourself, that divine within, when you became aware of it. This awareness, this realization that God exists, is a tremendous thing. It is the birth of the divine, the birth, the beginning of the divine consciousness in each and every one of us. It's powerful. It can simmer in the background for many years. It can simmer in the background for many lifetimes. And finally, one day, that fortunate soul realizes they cannot live without this presence. They have to have it in their life. It needs to be a part and a parcel of everything they do. And this is a tremendous transformation inside of a person, inside of a soul. You might find that if you think back long enough, that your earliest memories of God, your earliest memories of that presence were some of your earliest memories in this lifetime. And if that's the case, then probably you were aware of that presence of God in other lifetimes, and it was simply a realization of that as a young person. But you know what's so interesting when this starts to happen in a person, when this starts to kindle and it starts to awaken? And not just an awareness, a realization, an acknowledgement that there is something bigger than all of this. But that innate desire to unravel that mystery, to want to know, what is this all about? And if I keep following this thread, where does it take me? Where can it lead? And you know, it's a funny thing where it leads, because the more you focus on God, the more you concentrate on God, it's a funny thing, the more you want God, the more you want that presence in your life. And you start doing things to try and cultivate it. You know, we have so many forms. We have prayer. We have chanting. We have singing these wonderful gospel songs that we listen to and enjoy so much. We sometimes read poetry about the divine. And we begin to become enthralled with that. We want more of that. And if you are so fortunate to have a meditation where you get lifted up, and you get lifted up in that consciousness, and it's so natural to have the thought that I never want to be without this. I never want to be in any other state of consciousness ever. I want this. This is mine. This is my natural state. This is moving up. This is true luxury. Living in the house of God. And you know, as you can imagine, our beloved spiritual teacher's mother and David had quite a bit to say on this subject. I'm just going to share with you a little bit here. I'm first going to share a little something Mother said. I urge you, I don't care how busy you are, but let this Christmas season make a new start in your life. You take the time out to sit down and find out who and what you are and get close to that wonderful self, which is really you and which will, believe me, show you things that you never dreamed of. You'll be so thrilled, so filled with the bliss of God, with his inspiration, with his perfection, with his perfect health, his perfect supply, his perfect wisdom, his perfect love, that you will be overflowing with it. And this is from a person that knows. She's not kidding. This is what is waiting for us when we experience that divine birth, and then we follow that thread, we follow that voice of God, we follow that inkling, that kindling spiritual desire. And our beloved David talks about this path of devotion, this path of seeking God, seeking the divine. So this is back in 2014, 11 years ago. These words are as true in this moment as they were when they were written. And David says, sadhana, your practice of God remembrance must permeate every part of your life for the total transformation in divinizing your life. God remembrance takes place in your deeper meditations, when you divinely love on a spring-filled day, when you're at home doing your daily chores, watching a movie, when you're in conversation with friends, driving your car, when you're at work or in your private musings. You may ask, how can I possibly think of God in all those places and situations? However, there are earthly examples when such remembrance takes place. When you're first in love, or feel a great attraction for someone, you cannot not think of the object of your attraction. Whether you're at work, driving, at home, you think only of that one. What is she doing now? I would like to see her, talk to her. This love drug eventually wears off, but when you're in its midst, it is a powerful intoxicant. Or when a mother has a newborn, she is always thinking of her baby. Was that my baby who just made a noise? Is it time to feed her? Oh, look at her. Is she not the most beautiful baby? If that mother has to be separated from her baby for an hour, she's thinking, does she need me? Is she all right? If you do not have this deep feeling for God remembrance, then you can pray to God to have it. Bhakti, loving devotion, is said to be the easiest path to God because there is nothing more powerful than loving remembrance. In that divine state, your mind is not work to think of your beloved. It is no trouble to do something in service to the one. Rather, it gives you great joy. You are enthusiastic to discover what your beloved likes. You are charmed by everything the infinite says and does. It is the greatest love affair you will ever know. In that mood, you will know endless bliss and joy. You are an intrepid explorer of truth, and the relationship is unbelievably ever new. Unlike the human love drug, this divine mood need not ever wear off, get old, or become stale. When in God experience, you do not tire of it, and God is always worthy of your trust and affection. God is the only attentive lover who can be with you, cradle to grave and beyond. The only limiting factor in having God affair is what you impose upon it. For God is infinite and eternal, and is always anxious to share all that he has with you. If God is a distant thought to you, an impersonal force for you to use, an interesting puzzle to figure out, or even a close friend, you can still deepen the relationship. Whether it is Divine Mother, Heavenly Father, or your beloved friend, any and all forms of relationships may take place with your infinite beloved, because God is all of that and more. Start now, this very instant, no matter your current feeling toward God, even if you feel distant, angry, or peevish, it is a come-as-you-are party. Bring it to God, bring exactly what you are thinking and feeling. He has big shoulders and will not mind. It is only important that you bring yourself. Open the door of your heart and invite him in, for God is the cure for all ills. Do this and know the greatest love you will ever have in all three worlds. What a beautiful, beautiful sentiment that David is talking about here is, seek God no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, even if you're mad at God, even if you're upset with God. Tell him you're upset. Tell him your problems. Tell him your worries. Tell him your complaints. Tell him everything. And you will find yourself transformed. So this past weekend, I drove up to, eventually up to Ferndale. There was a few stops along the way, and I started very early in the morning on Friday, and I really wanted to get going. So I made a note of it. I was on the road at 5:58 a.m. And it's a long ways. And one of the reasons that I start so early is because there's a friend that I like to see in Kirkland, Washington. And this friend is in a retirement home there, and she's 98 years old. And she's so sharp, and I love her so much. And she's an old client of actually Laura's at the gallery. And somehow or another, we kept in touch. Back in the 1980s, Laura used to sell her and her husband artwork. And then since then, her husband has passed away, and she's all by herself. And so it's nice to visit her. And every month, she writes a story, a new story about her life. And she either sends us the story or we go to the blog that it's posted on and I download it. And they're so sweet and so fascinating that I wait until Laura and I are in bed and I read the story to Laura in bed before we go to sleep. And we both really like this woman. And so it's a very sweet thing for us to do. And Ilona was born in Germany in the mid-1920s, and she was 11 years old when World War II started, and she was blessed to be born into an affluent family, and her father, her grandfather had been in the Duke's cavalry, and so her father followed in these footsteps and rose in the ranks and became a general. And she wrote a story about Christmas in 1938 and how wonderful it was. You know, here she is. She's only about 10 or 11 years old at that time. And she talks about all the magic of Christmas and how delightful the tree was and all the special foods that were at that time. And they had a cook in their home and they had a gal that took care of her and her sister. Her parents were very much in love, and it just seemed so perfect. And the story just, it was like a fairy tale. It was so delightful to read. But at the very end of it, she said, and then just a few months later, it all fell apart. And I think we know what happened a few months later. It was in September of 1939, that the war broke out in Europe. And it was a very devastating time for their family. Over the course, in the first week of the war, there was, Ilona was the youngest at 11. A couple years older than her was her older sister, and her older brother was 17 years old, and he was just entering university, and he was got involved in the Air Force, and he was killed within the first week of the war. And you can imagine how conflicted his father was, being a general and his only son. And apparently her brother very much took after the father, and he was the apple of her father's eye. And here he was killed pretty much immediately as the war broke out. As the war progressed, terrible things happened. Their little town they lived in was carpet bombed. It had no medical or military significance, but it was carpet bombed by the Allies, and 20,000 people died in one night. Their home was spared. It wasn't destroyed. Just during the war, towards the end of the war, their father was captured by the Russians. He disappeared into a Russian camp somewhere in Siberia, perhaps never to be seen again. Their mother died of cancer at 46 years old in the last year of the war. And here's Ilona and her sister, and now she's about 16, 17 years old. Her sister's about 19. And they're standing in their family home that's been their home for generations. And the U.S. military has come in and said, we're going to requisition your home for an American military family to live in. And you have 24 hours to take whatever you want to take with you, and then you have to leave. And I think Ilona just took one little thing. I think it was just maybe a little stuffed animal or something to remind her of home. And when I came and I came and spoke to her this past Friday, and we sat and we talked for a very long time. And you know, when I meet somebody, especially somebody that's in her situation, you can't hardly help but think of God. And I thought, God, you know, how do we want to get you inserted into this conversation here? And she actually brought it up. She said, you know, I was standing there with my sister in the living room of our home. We were being forced to leave. I knew at that time I would never, ever live here again. My mother had just died. My father was gone. My brother had died. She was, when she entered university earlier that year, she was the only woman out of 19 men. She was very proud of that. She was going to study international law. And as they graduated, they took all these 19 men into the war. And out of those 19 men, one of them came back, and he was missing an arm. They were all gone. They were all lost. So she's standing there with her sister in the living room of their home. And she had been raised in the church. And at that moment, she said, God, you've taken everything from me. I have nothing except my sister here. And it's been a horror story for 5 years. And I don't believe in you anymore. And I don't want to have anything to do with you. And, you know, I told Ilona, I don't know if you've ever tried to tell somebody to not be mad or not be angry or to settle down. Usually that doesn't work too well. In their mind, they have some very good reasons for being angry. And telling them not to be angry, I don't think is very effective. So I said, Ilona, what I want you to do is tell God all about it. Tell him why you're mad, why you're upset. And you know, right after that, she said, can I do that? Can I talk to God that way? I said, you sure can. I said, talk to him about it. You know, ask him about it. Ask him what's going on. She said, you know, I don't feel so angry anymore. I met the greatest man I have ever met in my life after the war. He was an American GI. And he is over there, Ilona, because she could speak fluent English. She could write in English. She could speak German. She was hired to serve in General Eisenhower's headquarters. He was known as the Supreme Commander, General Eisenhower, and she worked there in the office. And this young man would come into the office. He was a radio expert, which was quite high tech back in those days. They were the techies of the era. It's the radio men. And he worked on the radios. He worked on the towers. He worked on the installations. And he would come in, and they had an almost immediate fondness for each other. They started to date. They fell in love. And this young man was from Seattle, Washington. And they got married, and she moved over to Seattle. And that she'd been there ever since, and she has so much gratitude. She feels like this country gave her a whole new life. So kind of in the same conversation that she's saying how angry she is at God, she also said she's incredibly grateful. And I said, you know, you take your anger to God, and you also take your gratitude to God. You take everything you have to God. And I said, you know, Ilona, you're 98 years old. You're at a fantastic stage in your life to rekindle your relationship with God. And it feels a lot better to have a friend than have an enemy. And, you know, she kind of got teary-eyed, and she got a smile on her face. And when I finally left, you know, I just was going to stay for a limited amount of time. I don't have to tell you what it's like in Seattle. I got there at about 2 o'clock. And the later you go in the afternoon, the traffic just starts stacking up and stacking up and stacking up. And I was supposed to be up on the farm at 6 o'clock for dinner. And I really needed to get on the road. But, you know, there was something there talking to this beautiful old woman where I just couldn't leave. And it was a little over 2 hours before we finally sort of managed to say our goodbyes. And when I left, you know, and I turned around, and she had tears in her eyes. And I think she's going to find God a great comfort in this last time, in this last bit of time she has left in this body. And that's enormously heartwarming. That's tremendous. That's probably the greatest gift, Christmas present, a person could get. But, you know, we don't have to wait. You can be 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old. You can be the age to the second that you are right now. And put your mind on God, and it's never too late to rekindle that relationship. It's never too late to deepen your relationship with God. So we have this divine birth. We have this awakening of God within us. And then from that time until we become completely divine, as symbolized by Easter, from that time, we deepen our romance with God. We deepen our relationship with God. And you can do this in so many ways. You know, David so eloquently just talked about it in this post, where you can be with God in every situation. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how mundane. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest places to try and be with God, and one of the most difficult, is when you're really scared. When fear has taken a hold of you and you really are really frightened and you think something really bad is going to happen. And one of the aspects of the emotion of fear is it focuses our minds. It's like it's all we can think about is that thing that we're scared of. And at that moment, at that time, do everything in your power, everything in your might to take that to God. And it will ease the situation. But some of this practice takes some willpower. Tell you another time that it's easy to drift away from God is when we start getting a little lackadaisical, when we start not paying attention, when we start, perhaps things are too easy, perhaps we get a little lazy, perhaps we get a little bored, perhaps we get a little apathetic, and we think, we don't really think, we're not thinking about God, we're just drifting away into a sort of a tamasic consciousness, sort of a deadening, an apathetic state. This is a particularly prevalent, perhaps, in the wintertime. You know, if you were to assign the gunas to the seasons, you might say that winter is a little bit tamasic. Summer is perhaps a little bit rajasic. So many things to do. So much beautiful energy out there. Well, you know, what's interesting is we think of the gunas as going, you know, the lowest as being tamasic, and then the middle is rajasic. And the highest is being sattvic. But here's what's interesting. The winter gives us this tremendous opportunity to go from the tamasic to the sattvic. It's a great time to meditate. It's a great time to put our minds on God. And if the clouds are massing, if the storm is coming, if the sky is dark, go outside and look up at that big stormy sky and say, oh my goodness, God, you are magnificent in your storm. And you feel the raindrops on your face and you go, that is God. Perhaps it's dark outside. Perhaps it's quiet. Perhaps the world is not quite as active as it is in the summertime. This is a wonderful opportunity to cozy up on your favorite chair, cross your legs in front of you with a wool blanket underneath you, and put your mind right here. Put your thoughts right there on God. Whatever it is you're doing, it doesn't matter. If you're making something, if you're baking, if you're puttering around in the kitchen, do it with God. This time of the year is a wonderful opportunity to do that. There isn't quite so much dryness out in the world. Sure, you still have your job. You still have your responsibilities. There's still things to do. But it's a little bit quieter time. It's a little bit more peaceful time. It's a good time to put your mind on God. It's a good time to nurture that divine that's already been born in you. You're already aware of it. It's a time of quiet, peace, and upliftment. If we would only put our minds on God, if we only maintain that focus, God can be with us every second of every day. And in fact, that is our goal. Not only our goal, not only our desire, but it's our destiny. As Arjuna said to Krishna, the battle is already won, and for this purpose you were born. That is true for you. You know, God's in your corner. It's God that awakened this feeling, this awareness of his presence. It's God that awakened that in you. And it is God that is growing it inside of you, growing your desire. And if things aren't going fast enough, if your awareness isn't as much as you would like it to be, if you feel as though you are dedicated, but you're almost never getting lifted up, if you're never feeling God in that way, ask for that. That's the greatest present you could get at any time of the year. That's the greatest gift. More desire for God, more presence of God, God around you, God throughout you, God in the faces of those you love, God in the face and the voice of your spouse. If you show affection, if you lean over, if you put your arms around that one, if you kiss them, you're putting your arms around God. You're kissing God. Could even be with a pet, with a cat or a dog. That pet's on your lap and you're stroking their fur and they're purring away. This is God come to you in cat form. God comes to us in many forms. And what an adventure. What an adventure it is to discover God in what we would think of as the mundane, in the simple, in the things that you've been around your whole life, going out to get the mail. How many times have you walked out to get the mail? And what do you have for me now, God? What's available? God takes care of us in ways that are sometimes a little bit mind-boggling, little, perhaps even hard to believe. So, you know, sometimes we cut it a little close, and I'm probably guilty of this more than most. And I was driving down on Monday, from a tremendous visit up at Jill's. She was just the best hostess in the world, and we all came together and we had a wonderful time, and it all goes by so quickly, and it was time for the long drive home. And the gas in Washington State is about a dollar more per gallon than it is down in Oregon, because Washington has the highest gas tax in the nation. And so I was almost out of gas when I was leaving Seattle. And I thought I'd just get enough to get me down to my favorite gas station down in Wilsonville. It's a Fred Meyer, and they have really good price on gas. And so I just threw 10 gallons in the tank and headed off. And I'm sailing along. I get all the way through Washington, and I get all the way through Portland, and I'm heading out the south end. I'm only about 10 miles from Wilsonville, and my car starts chugging and coughing, and I go, boy, this doesn't sound good. And I fortunately, there was an exit right there, and I took the exit, and just as I came up to the cross street at the exit, the car died completely, and I coasted in along the shoulder, and there was some construction going on, so I got on the other side of the cone, so I was protected by the cone, so that was good. And the car just pooped out completely, and you know, I had to get back by 6 o'clock for church, and so I was on a schedule. You know, I didn't really have a lot of time to go walking a couple miles to get a gas can and you know, learning that lesson again, and walking back, and trying to get back on the road. Didn't know what I was going to do. And you know, a construction worker came up to me right after the car died, and he knocked on my window, and I rolled it down. He said, "You know, this isn't really a lane. You know, we're working here. This isn't really a place to be." And I threw up my hands and I said, "Hey, listen, I'm sorry, but my car died. I don't know if I'm having mechanical problems or what." And I didn't think it was the gas, because usually a big light comes on that you're low on gas, and I never saw that. But, you know, I looked at that gas gauge, and it was way down, and I thought, boy, you know, maybe I'm out of gas. And this guy, you know, he'd stuck his head in my car, and big old burly construction worker, he says, "You know, I think I might have some gas on the truck." And I go, "Well, that'd be fantastic." So I jump out of the car, and he runs back to his big flatbed, and he comes back with this big gas can. It was so cool. It had a big funnel on it that fit right in my little gas tank there. And he tipped it up, and I think he put at least a gallon and a half or so in there. And I was so grateful. I couldn't believe it. And I tried to give him some money, and he wouldn't hear of it. And, you know, we parted ways. I shook his hand. I just could not believe how sweet this man was. And I jumped in my car and I took off, and I think that entire episode lasted about 5 minutes is all I was off the road. And sometimes this stuff doesn't occur to you till you're back on the road. But I realized, you know, that was God. That was God in human form. That guy appeared out of nowhere with a gas can and filled my car with gas. And I was back out on the road. It was like Indianapolis 500 pit stop. The thing was so fast. And I was kind of amazed. And I thought, you know, I just realized with all my heart that that was God taking care of me. And I believe that, and I know that. And he comes to us in so many surprising ways. And when we need him the most, you know, it's no accident, it's no coincidence that Christmas comes at the darkest time of the year. This is when we need the light the most. And I'm talking about in our hearts. God comes to us in the darkest times of our lives. I don't think any of us can forget the story of David leaning up against that rock up on Siholm Hill in so much pain, so much separation, so much loneliness, saying, "God, if you've ever existed, come to me now." And God comes. If we're sincere, we call out to him. We yearn for him with all of our hearts. He comes, sometimes he comes to us in the darkest times of our lives. And that is the symbol of this tremendous holiday. You know, it's only a week from New Year's Eve. We're closing in. Today's the 17th, I think. The solstice is the 21st or the 22nd. The darkest time of the year. What a wonderfully appropriate time to cultivate the light inside of ourselves. Do you ever think about the gift we've been given? And of course, Mother and David are just beyond anything that we could ever expect. But this gift starts as this awareness of God, this awareness of the divine, this birth of the divine within ourselves. That's where the gift starts. And then it builds and it gets bigger. You know, any of us on this path, I just feel like we have no excuses. You know, we have the best spiritual guidance, the truth, the most love, the most attention. You know, I live in a town, Ashland, Oregon. It's full of people that have gurus. And many of them are followers of Amaji. Well, you know, Amaji, you stand in line for 5 hours and then you get a hug. And if you're willing to travel and wait and do everything possible, you might get, you know, 1 minute with this woman where she's giving you a hug, and it probably is a tremendous minute as she fills you with her Shakti power and divine love. But look at what we had. Who gets to sit down and have a cup of coffee with their guru? Who gets to ride in a car for a long distance with their guru? Who gets to take a walk where it's just you and your guru? Who gets to laugh and be with someone of David's status? When I think about it, I think, my goodness, you know, we have... If we don't make it, there's something seriously wrong. You know, we talk about every blessing, every gift, every advantage, every imaginable prompt. I think everyone in this group has got to have some kind of incredible karma from some previous lifetimes, because we have gotten the greatest situation I could possibly imagine. So in light of this wonderful gathering we had, many of you were there, I know, but we had a social Christmas on Saturday, which we sang Christmas carols. It was just wonderful. You know, Jill did this great thing where she found on Spotify somebody singing the Christmas carol. So, you know, our beloved Kate wasn't with us this weekend to lead the Christmas carol. So we needed a leader. So we had some of the greatest leaders of these Christmas carols you can imagine. We had Burl Ives, you know, we had Nat King Cole. We had some pretty incredible carol leaders for us. And so it was really quite a time. And then spiritual Christmas was tremendous. So I'm going to take you back a few years. This is back to, I think, 2013 or 2014, where David is recounting this exact kind of weekend we just had. And let's discover what he has to say about it. The last of the devotees depart after a weekend of celebrating Christmas with their spiritual family. The house is quiet, and yet not quiet, for the all-powerful sound of Om, Amen, is ringing in the air and from the walls, floor, and ceiling. My heart is full and complete. God is the special ingredient that makes for this total contentment. All the plans could look the same. Christmas carols the night before, spiritual service followed by a potluck, a social gathering of such wonderful souls. But without the vibration of God, the festivities would be incomplete, an unnamed emptiness. But with God, oh, what a different story. Upon meeting each person, my heart is an overflowing cup of love. The eyes flow with bliss, the soul is touched, and a depth of spirit is reached that makes the world bright and peaceful. The divine ingredient makes it all sacred. It is the true philosopher's stone that turns all it touches into gold, the gold of the spirit. For so many years, I yearned for this and did not have it. How many lonely Christmases? How much time was spent living in separation, knowing there was more, like the waif on the outside in the cold, watching those on the inside share a warm banquet. I keenly felt the divine absence. Now the infinite presence lives in my heart and soul. Separation is but a memory of the past. Oh, how I long to have all yearning souls share in the kingdom, to know that through total surrender comes spiritual perfection. Come, my dear ones, come into the kingdom of bliss, light, and peace. Come, O blessed Christ, come. By whatever the name you may call upon the One, the Redeemer of mankind, for it is through grace that all are lifted, even on this day, into the waiting kingdom of spirit. I continue listening to the resounding Om coming from everywhere and nowhere, and I know that it is the result of God's presence combined with all the wonderful souls who have celebrated this holy season with us today. And this feeling, this music of spirit, is the best Christmas gift I could ever hope to receive. It is the vibrancy of the Holy Ghost in Christ consciousness, born anew, manifesting through this blissful sound, and its words sing through the very cells of my being. Merry Christmas to you, and goodwill toward all. David has in this tremendous writing has told us what we already know, is that when you're in the presence of God, everything is good, everything is beautiful, everything is special, it's magical. And when you're not in the presence of God, you keenly feel it. You feel something is wrong, you feel that separation. This is the discernment that we learn after being with God and being away from God and being with God and being separate from God and going back and forth from the darkness to the light. You start to seek out the light. And if you're not in it, you know you have to be soon. And once you start feeling this presence of God, it becomes something you don't want to be without. Joshua 1:19 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And isn't that the truth? You know, I'd like to take a moment if you want. And for anyone here, I would love to hear about that first time that you became aware that of God's presence, that first time that you knew that there was a God. Maybe the first time was when your parents took you to Sunday school. Maybe you were just 4 or 5 years old and they talked about God. And, you know, in that sense, I think sometimes as little kids, we think of God as this man with a white beard out there somewhere. But I'm very curious about that first time that you felt that presence within you. And you don't certainly have to share, but if that's a poignant memory for you, if that's something that you recall with great fondness when you were first aware of that presence, could you share that? It would be nice to hear about that.
I'll pop in right away, Peter.
I would love to hear about it, Judy. I would love it.
Thank you. When you mentioned it at the beginning of this talk tonight, the first thing that came into my head was being a little girl in the back seat of the car, and my aunt had just given me a statue of the Virgin Mary, and I felt it. I felt it. And it's interesting, isn't it?
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it's amazing.
How old were you, Judy?
I don't know, but I was really young. I don't know. I would guess maybe just 7 or something like that. But yeah, and it's so wonderful that here I am feeling something special about having this mother of God, the mother of Jesus. And then I got my own mother. I got mother in my life. It's so nice. I better not say any more. I'm starting to get teary-eyed.
You know, that's one of the things I love. There's a lot of things I like about the Catholics. I think they get a little bit of a bad rap sometimes, but one of the things I love about the Catholics is the celebration of the divine mother. The divine is feminine. And you can have both, but I love that they celebrate that in the guise of Mother Mary. And I think that's delightful, especially for anybody that, you know, loves their mother. Anyone else have a little story about when you first became aware of that presence of God inside of you? Yes, Geraldine.
I was brought up Catholic, and both my parents were very devoted and loving parents. And I think I watched them, and I felt a lot of love in the home and God's presence through them. And I remember being really young and just being really excited about God and telling other little children, you know, at the table with some other kids. I was probably 7 as well. And I just remember, I don't know why I had this memory. I think I was so filled with joy. I was just telling these other kids about God. And then another thing that stands out in my mind was we would go to the beach a lot. And one time there were these Christian young people all singing these really, really upbeat, like, songs about my cup is full and running over, and it was just so full of joy. I just really had a great day that day with those songs. And I went to a Catholic school, and there was one really devoted teacher who used to pray with his hands clasped and his eyes closed, and I just felt his sincerity so greatly. And so that stayed with me for a long time until I was a teenager and started doubting things and lost God's presence for a while, and it just felt terrible. And I had to work my way back. So finding David was a big part of that. Yeah.
What a beautiful, beautiful story.
Thanks, Peter.
Oh, gosh. That's really sweet.
And we get to know each other better when we hear each other's stories, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does anybody else have a little story about when they were little or when they first felt that presence of God?
Well, I wasn't that little, but it was more when I first met Mother the first time, because I didn't really have religion in my life or anything along those lines. But once the first time I met Mother, it was like, this is it. And, no doubts, no questions, just this is it.
Isn't that wonderful when you feel like you're coming home?
Yeah, for sure.
All those questions you've had all those years are suddenly, you feel like those questions will be taken care of.
Yeah, and you just, I would think, I would like to ask mother some questions, but then when I got in her presence, it all didn't mean a thing.
There's no questions.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's an uplifted master can have that effect on us.
Yeah.
All doubt seems to evaporate in the brilliant, dazzling power.
Yes.
Of an uplifted, realized soul.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick.
Good.
Does anyone else have I'm very sincerely curious about what your experience was when you first felt that presence inside of you.
So for me, it was September 24th or 21st, 1995.
The autumnal equinox.
The autumnal equinox at David's house. That he was renting a room and he had a equinox meditation. And one of the first things he did in Seattle after coming out of the dark night. He had done some things up in Canada, and he invited me to come. And I had known him since 1988. And, sat for meditation with him for the first time and felt God's spirit move through me in a way similar to Mother describing when she met Master the first time. And before that, hadn't felt God at all. So that was pretty significant.
I would say so.
Yeah.
That's a very, very inspiring story.
I grew up very steeped in the Catholic Church but was just a fraud in anything that I did in it. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe it, but it was easier to go along with what was going on.
That's a very moving story. Yeah.
Then the hard work began.
And look what it's taken you.
Yeah, God is very, very sweet to us.
Yeah, very generous.
Gives us a road back home.
You can leave it unmuted.
I think Greg has something.
Yeah, please, Greg.
For me, it was when I was 18 and on a very long canoe trip and just got absorbed in nature and that strong power that there was more to it than what meets the eye, shall we say. And it was just a strong sense of spirit.
I love that, Greg. For so many, nature is their church. This is right. Where they feel closest to God. Yeah. That's also a very touching story. And God's been with you ever since. You know, we think about Christmas and we think about the gifts we get. And this birth of the divine, this awareness of God is the greatest gift any human could ever receive. When you think about your children or your parents or anybody that you love, once you know this presence of God, this is what you wish for them. Doesn't mean you have to beat anybody over the head with anything. It doesn't even mean you have to mention it to them, but it does mean that when you love somebody, you want them to have the best and you want them to have that feeling of goodness And that feeling of certainty, that feeling of safety, that feeling of being loved that comes with this presence. You know, as you know, my son's been through a lot. He's had it pretty rough in his 25 years, but I'll tell you what. In the past few weeks, he's been coming out at 5:30 in the morning pretty early and sitting with me and meditating. And I literally could not ask God for anything better for him. And I feel very blessed that he's drawn to that. So this is a tremendous path we share. It's the most exciting thing there is. It's the most exciting adventure. It's all of your heart's desires all coalesced into one presence. And I couldn't be more delighted to share it with you. And with that thought in mind, please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being.
I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body.
Thy perfection surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light.
My mind and my intelligence is radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Oh. 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 Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bless.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. We're having a Zoom to God workshop this Saturday at 9:00. If you can be there, I would love to see you. And throughout this next week, every moment we can, let's put our minds on God and let's bring that gift of God's presence to everyone we come in contact with. Bless you. May God's presence be with you in everything you do until we meet again.